You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, after the 10:30 news, the segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up, get away from serious topics, and take a little breath. The anniversary of Calvin and Hobbes, I believe, was yesterday. We started talking about our old favorite comic strips. Which comic strips did you love? Which ones really spoke to you? Which ones were really annoying?
Which ones made you say, ack?
Yeah, what? Oh, yes, ack out loud. We're going to talk about comic strips for Audio Sorbet today, and then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Take a Bite Out of This edition. Stay tuned for that. We wanted to start off, though, with another article that was published today. Natalie Ebert has the byline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the headline says, she followed all the rules for building a life in Wisconsin, and then the rules changed. 27-year-old Daylan Pacheco Acosta had been working for a Madison family. She'd been doing this for several years, chaperoning their 3-year-old to class every Tuesday. In October, during a routine check-in with U.S. Immigration, she was arrested. This, again... My issue is the Trump administration told us they were going after the worst of the worst criminals, the most dangerous people that have infiltrated our country. A working nanny going through the regular process until the rug got pulled out, that doesn't seem to me to be the worst of the worst. And yes, crossing the border illegally is a crime. It's not a felony.
Mm-hmm. Also,
it's not.
Also, they were going for what's called temporary protected status, which is something that Kilmar Obrego Garcia was enjoying when he was here. Also, and that just as a quick reminder, as it says here in the article, it's designed to allow people from countries suffering from natural disasters, civil strife, or other dangerous conditions to remain in the country while they apply for their asylum or seek other paths to citizenship, i.e. doing it the legal way. But the problem, yeah. Jane, the problem always is now it went from the worst of the worst, the criminals, the murders, all the things that are the terrible things. Now it is just simply baseline. Well, you came here illegally. You're a criminal. Get out. That's it. It was once. Yes, let's rid ourselves of the criminals. And a lot of Americans agreed we need to get rid of terrible criminals out of this country. But now it's to fulfill this ridiculous quota from Stephen Miller of 3,000 people a day. They're taking everyone. Some people who don't, you know, who shouldn't be taken out of the country at all because they, you know, were born here. But now it's just simply, Jane, if you are here illegally, you are the exact criminal Donald Trump was talking about, and you are dangerous.
In this particular case, this working nanny and her husband, they've gone every year to their ICE check-ins since 2021. That is when they left Venezuela. They did cross the border into the U.S., at which time, as you mentioned, Greg, they signed up for temporary protected status, which was legal. That was the legal way to go through this until the Trump administration said, no, that's not legal anymore.
Yep.
And I think it's important that people remember that ICE raid on that building in Chicago where they rappelled out of Black Hawk helicopters, smashed in people's doors, zip-tied children, kept them separated from their parents for hours in vans. To this point, no criminal charges have come out of that.
Correct. None.
No one has been charged with being a Tren de Agua gang member. That was their whole predicate for raiding that building, and now there's no charges.
Nope. And they're probably, and I'm sorry, and I don't mean to be the gloomy Gus on this one, but there probably won't be. And when you bring this up to people who are for this mass deportation, which is some signs they held at the RNC last year in Milwaukee, mass deportations now.
Now.
When you talk to them about such violent and dramatic ways of arresting, snatching, and disappearing people to jail to other countries, and when you involve the conversation point of children being zip tied, that's when the gauntlets throw down and says, like, which side of this do you fall on? As far as, you know, can you say, oh, this is not what I wanted and I don't like this? And some people have. There have been people who've come forward and say, this is a bridge too far. But then you just have people who say, nah, I don't care. They're kids. They're not Americans. They're not Americans.
I see it on Twitter all the time. Good. Get rid of all of them. Good. Okay. Good.
And this is something, actually, you know, to revisit a point we talked about last year before the election when things seemed to be okay. I mean, God, remember that? Ooh, oh, my goodness.
Feels like eons ago.
Not waking up with a stomachache every day. But when you look at this process of trying to get rid of 3,000 people a day, when you get rid of that many people, that has a definite, sharp, and visible effect on our economy.
I mean, absolutely.
Just talk to our farmers who have lost their employees, who, yes, they were employing people who were here. They were here undocumented, but they were trying to get them through processes to get them temporary work visas, trying to push through legislation to make it easier for people to come to this country and do labor and be a part of the system. And not to mention, we're not even going to like get into the fact that undocumented people all over this nation are putting in hundreds of millions of dollars into our tax economy, but it doesn't matter to them for some reason, Jane. And I don't understand that. I don't get why. It goes to what you said. There's no long-term planning. There's no long-range planning. They don't see these people as possible assets. Therefore, let's invest time and money into programs that allow them to stay here to contribute to our economy.
Well, and they're really very useful scapegoats. Because now when I go on social media and I hear about the housing problems and how we don't have enough affordable housing, Republicans are all over now on blaming illegal immigrants on the housing crisis. So is it they're sucking off of the social welfare systems in the U.S. They're getting free health care and free this and free that. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, they have so much money, they're buying up all our $400,000 houses. Really?
Well, it's whatever problems that ail what they see as good Americans. And I don't know what that means. That's a very subjective phrase. Whatever hurts us, whether it's affordability, whether it's education, whether it's, you know, access to programs or just a good life, I don't know. Like, they will attribute those problems a villain, and that villain is always either, if we're going economic, it's immigrants. If we're going social, it's trans people. Those are the two bad guys in this situation, the two scapegoats in this situation. And it's easy to do that because all you have to do is say, your housing is costing more because immigrants are buying up all... No, private equity firms, billionaires are buying up all the housing and they're turning them into rental properties and they're making it so that young people will never, ever see a mortgage. And if they do, they'll get a 50-year mortgage and pay $200 a month less than with a traditional, but yet pay somewhere between $1 to $2 million in interest and back to the bank. So, yeah. There are problems in this country. They need solutions. They don't need super duper comic book villains, and it's not immigrants and it's not trans people.
Again, going back to this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about this nanny who had been working in Madison for the last couple of years, going through the process, going to their annual immigration meetings. Their lawyer says, yes, they crossed the border. They asked for asylum. They were let in by the government. Mm-hmm. They pay taxes. They contribute to their communities. Prior to them being arrested during their regular ICE appointment, neither of them had so much as a speeding ticket. They followed all the rules, but yeah, let's throw them out of the country. They're bad.
Currently, these two probably pay more taxes than Jeff Bezos, all right?
Seriously.
But yeah, it's always going to be the othering, as we've mentioned as well. It's the othering. It's
this
always
goes
the
back
othering.
To, and we want to give a plug to our guest who came on. He wrote a book about pick your immigration journey.
Yeah, yep.
Right?
It was a comedian and writer for...
Daily Show.
For Late Night with Colbert. It was Felipe Torres Medina. I always want to make sure I get the full name correct.
Sure.
But Felipe Torres Medina wrote a book called America Let Me In, A Choose Your Immigration Story. I've read the book. It's fantastic.
It is.
And it speaks on a variety of situations on which the ultimate goal is immigrating to this country to becoming a citizen. And he breaks down what you need to go through if you are, let's say, a rich white European with connections. Are you not? Okay, here's the next thing. Are you a person with menial funds and a person of color? Here's what you have to go through. And discusses just how strenuous and how anxiety-ridden
laborious
that process that can be to say, I would like to become a citizen of this country. And we don't, as a country, make it easy. And it shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be just like you're here for 6 months and there you go, there's your passport. But it at least should be a level playing field so that someone like these two individuals in this story, and I want to say their names out loud because they deserve recognition for doing it the right way. That would be Daylin Pacheco Acosta.
And her husband Diego.
They shouldn't have to do what's happening right now. They are doing it the right way, and now it's going to be, if they are able to come back ever again, which may be not the case. So it's a great book. I suggest getting it. I suggest getting the audio book because it's very funny too. It's a very funny,
very funny,
very informative. Yep. And I know you have, and I know we're coming up against the wall here, but I know you have experience that we have people on the phone who want to talk to us about this topic. But it's not as simple as some people on social media want to make it seem.
Absolutely not. By the way, going back to this particular couple, U.S. Department of Homeland Security Assistant Secretary Trisha McLaughlin told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that this couple broke immigration laws when they entered the country. They crossed the border. They asked for asylum, says their attorney. They were let in by the government. They followed all the rules. And the Trump administration basically says, yeah, well, too bad.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You're not us. You're not Americans. You don't look like you're not white South Africaners. You don't get to stay here. So
yeah,
that's a whole other kettle of fish. But yeah,
I don't have time to jump into that.
But again, no one on the phone line's calling, telling us, hey, yeah, to heck with them. No, because it's indefensible.
When we return, let's kill all the programs that are good for consumers. That sounds like a winning plan. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit, Audio Sorbet, where we kick around things that are not related to heavy news. We're going to talk about your favorite comic strips that are no longer around. I used to cut them out and put them on my fridge. I don't think I'm the only one.
No.
You never did that, did you?
We did it at home when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah. There were little comic strips on the refrigerator. And then when they turned a certain color, then you took them down.
Yeah, and they start to getting yellow. It's time to take the strip down. Yeah. Yep. So we'll talk about favorite comic strips after the 10:30 news. Right now, we did want to talk a little bit about, it might be good for consumers, so let's not do that. Couple examples. This is from USA Today. IRS direct file ends. Yeah. Americans will have one fewer free option to file their taxes next year because the Trump administration killed IRS direct file.
Which is something they've been trying to do for a while.
Yeah. But of course, it went into being under the Biden administration. We can't have that.
Yeah.
It was meant to simplify federal tax filing for Americans and save them money. It was launched as a pilot program in 2023. Taxpayers in 12 states got to file directly to the IRS. It did expand in 2024 to 25 states. Without it, direct file supporters say Americans will now have to spend more time and money in order to do their taxes. I believe there might have been some lobbying involved in this from, could it be tax preparation companies?
Absolutely. I mean, this is something that, you know, I know that John Oliver did an episode about this very topic and the fact that we are, like, I think one of the only countries that didn't have some sort of system where we could just do it ourselves directly with the government. It's because
cut out the middleman.
These tax preparation companies and their lobbying arms have all been using their dollars for decades to keep it from happening. And when it finally did happen, as soon as Trump got in office, it's gone because, yeah, you know, whatever business likes business daddies get.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Whatever makes it simpler for us has to go, period. And someone will give you some ridiculous answer as to why we're getting rid of it. It's bad for freedom. It's bad for America. Apparently it's run by immigrants and or trans people. I have no idea. But yeah, it's another way that we are getting
screwed.
There it is. I didn't want to say the word, but you said it. It's your show. Your name's in the title. And it always, when it comes down to whether it's business and a business and the people or Trump and the people will never win, period.
Another little example of this. This is from CNBC. Trump administration drops Biden plan to require passenger compensation for delayed flights. Again, might be good for us as consumers, as the little people. It's not good for big business, though. And as you said, Greg, what big business wants, big business gets.
Business daddy rules. You think Trump is in charge? No, business daddies are in charge. That's who's in charge.
In December of 2024, the U.S. Transportation Department, under then-President Joe Biden, asked for public comment on writing rules to require airlines to pay $200 to $300 for a domestic delay of at least 3 hours and almost $800 for longer delays. Yeah, that's gone.
Yep.
Can't have that. Last month, a group of 18 Democratic senators urged the Trump administration not to drop that plan, but of course, he did. Airlines have been pushing Trump to go further. They're very excited. They are praising this action to reduce that plan from Joe Biden that would have actually helped consumers.
Yeah, we're never first of mine. It's just not how this ever works. And then somehow they get to spin it into being good, and it really makes me ever since 9/11, the airline industry have had more and more hardships because of increasing legislation, increasing oversight, but then what they do is they just continue to pass those fees on to us in a way that we have no choice. Because I'm not driving to Paris. And so therefore I have to fly. Therefore we are kind of, what's that word again? We're getting what again, Jane?
That would be screwed.
Exactly.
Screwed would be the official term. And by the way, I just want to remind folks that, remember Paul Ryan, Wisconsin's own Paul Ryan, who promised us that we would be able to file our taxes on a postcard? Remember that?
Yeah.
When they took away all the deductions that regular people had, the few deductions people had, they took all those away because it was going to be so easy to file your taxes. You could just do it on a postcard. That hasn't happened.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to have to spend between $300 to $400 to $500 next year on my taxes. And also getting probably nothing in return and having to pay the government as well. So again, people zero, Trump, who cares?
Well done. Yeah. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to jump into a little audio sorbet and talk about favorite comic strips from days gone by. Mm. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, talk about things that are a little lighter so we can all relax for 20 minutes or so. Is that so bad? I don't think so. Calvin and Hobbes celebrated 40 years yesterday. Calvin and Hobbes hit our newspapers 40 years ago on November 18th of 1985. And that got us talking about comic strips and how they've kind of disappeared, which is a shame. But I think a lot of us have favorite comic strips that really stuck with us over the years. So we would love to know which comic strip you love and miss. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Favorite newspaper comics. Which one was it? Maybe it was Calvin and Hobbes. That was not necessarily my thing. I didn't mind Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
I loved Bloom County.
Ah, well, I first of all, I just want to say this.
Berkeley breathed.
I just really, I didn't know that I'm older than Calvin and Hobbes. That's something you find out in your 40s, the things you're older than, which is probably another whole other audio sorbet. You're like, oh, this thing's been around for a century. It's been around for 25 years. Oh, great.
Great.
Bloom County, remind me. I don't remember that one.
Bloom County was Opus the Penguin.
Okay.
And boy, Bill the Cat. Bill the Cat was dead. You didn't know Bill the Cat?
No.
Not resonating.
I'm looking them up right now. I'm looking at all of the, because
they had big book compilations.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Of Bloom County.
I mean,
and that went on. It went on for years and years. I think it might still be there in some form. What is your favorite newspaper comic strip? Which is the one that you loved and you miss now? 855-752-4842. Mine again, by far, would be Bloom County. I really miss it. They did a great job of being right on the line of politics.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's that fine line where it's still really funny, but they're taking some shots. That was brilliant. It was brilliant.
For me growing up, the ones that I always remember are, and first of all, we asked the question at the beginning of the show, whether or not they're still around. And I looked it up, and yes, they are still a part of newspapers today. It has changed a lot because back in the day, there was like a whole page dedicated. Remember the green sheet?
Yes.
The green sheet. But they're still in daily and Sunday print. So they do still exist, just not to the great wealth of availability that we used to. But when I was a kid, the ones that I always saw were Calvin and Hobbes, Garfield. I love Garfield. I love Garfield. So funny. Peanuts. And there was two, The Wizard of Id and Hagar the Horrible. Those were the two that those were the ones I remember. I mean, I'm seeing other ones here that Sally Forth, Mary Worth.
Those were like soap opera strips, though.
Nancy.
Mary Worth was a soap opera.
Yeah, it's
in comic strip form, if I remember correctly.
I remember those. I remember all of those titles very well when you look at the paper and you open it up. I always went for Garfield, though. But we got some people on the line here. Ollie from the Northwoods on the phone. Ollie, what are your favorite newspaper comic strips, and do you still read them today?
Well, I have to always think of first of Beetle Bailey, because my dad was in the Army. That was always the first one that he went to read. So That's a very missed one in our family. And also Marmaduke. I think
the
it
big
was
dog.
The Winslow family, yeah, that had the big Great Dane. And I think because of that cartoon when we were came back to the States, I always wanted Great Danes and eventually ended up owning like 5 or 6 of them.
Wow.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
We actually probably had more because we had one litter of puppies, but it was quite a feat to have a litter of puppies in a one-bedroom house.
Nice. Oh, my. And a litter of Great Dane
I don't
puppies.
Even, that's
crazy.
For a litter, usually buy a second house for Great Danes because they're going to be taller than your tallest kid. Thank you so much, Ollie, for calling in and telling us about that. Yeah, I mean, these are all the ones we grew up on. I know PJ on the live stream says Family Circus. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot Family Circus.
That was a classic for decades.
Yeah, it's
decades.
On the text line, we have a lot here, too. Jim from Brookfield says, who can forget Mr. Tweety, the average Joe who never caught a break? Penny listening on WAUK also says Family Circus. And Brett in Brown Deer, one of our favorites, he said that the comic books I loved were the Freak Brothers comics, Total Stoner comics. All right, Brett, I buy that one. I buy that completely. But they had epic adventures and were really funny. And Rick in Mequon says Animal Crackers and Frank and Ernest were must read. So, yeah, they're still, I mean, I'm sure they're still out there, still available, and they're still in the papers. It's just like the old days. They would take up an entire page.
There was a whole section dedicated to nothing but comics. What was your favorite comic strip? You wish it was still around?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack listening on WAUK. My favorite comics, The Far Side.
Yeah.
Larson is a genius of the single panel. There are still some I still have a couple of those cut out, actually. Some of the old Far Side cartoons. There, he did one with a little kid, and again, these are just one-panel jokes, but there's a little kid sitting at his breakfast table, and he's obviously very, very depressed.
Yeah.
And his mother is standing beside him, comforting him, and she says, "It's okay, honey. I remember how disappointed I was when I saw my first disc jockey."
Wow. That
is a classic.
That's a niche that's designed for a specific audience right there.
Yeah, an audience of 5.
There you go.
I still have it. I still have that hanging up with a picture of me from my first job in radio.
Audio sorbet today is, what are your favorite newspaper comic strips celebrating the 40th anniversary of Calvin and Hobbes? And Calvin and Hobbes always kind of took, there was a philosophical bent to that one too. It got deep without you knowing it. It asked questions and said things that you were like, oh, these are deeper concepts that I'm just giggling at. So we're celebrating them by talking about our favorite newspaper comic strips. Al from Campbellsport is calling in right now. Al, what are the comic strips that you grew up looking at? What are the ones you still look at today?
Well, good morning. This one goes back a ways. Alley Oop from 1959.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like age 8. So I don't know if it was in Milwaukee papers, but I seen it in the Sheboygan Press years back.
I'm looking to see.
I remember that one, Al. I do. I remember Alley Oop. That's going back a ways. Like Ollie said too, Beetle Bailey. That was it. Also, yep. And Nancy was another one.
Ack.
Nancy. But see, Ack is Bill the Cat.
Really? I thought Ack.
But, from Bloom County.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look it up because Nancy also said something too. Yeah. Thank you so much, Al, for calling.
Appreciate it, Al.
What did Nancy the comic strip? Yeah, I'm Googling right now. Famously. There we go. She said, oh, come on, AI.
It's not going to work.
Well, but Nancy was the one who was like unlucky in love. She could never find love.
No,
right?
You're thinking of Kathy.
Kathy. Kathy
you're
said
Ack. You're thinking of Kathy.
Kathy
said Ack.
Yeah, yes. Kathy did say Ack.
Yes.
We got, let's see here. Lori from Hayward said, Jane and Greg, the one I remember is Dennis the Menace. I'm not sure if we have any newspapers around Hayward that the carry cartoon strips anymore. And then One unnamed texture says Nancy and Sluggo, Archie and Veronica. Yeah, these
couples.
They were a moment for you. They were a couple. They were like, you know, reading that portion of the paper was like, you know, 5 minutes away from everything and enjoying something for just a moment.
Well, and I don't know about you, but for me, when I was very small, that was something that I would read with my dad.
Really?
Yeah. On Sunday mornings or whatever. And he would go through the paper. And I think that was an early introduction to reading, at least for me, because it was, you know, it's short, it's sweet, it's easy.
It's funny. And it's a moment of connection. And what it did, what it provides memories for you. So, I mean, that's really, really, I love that. And
Super Franklin texting in, talking about a Far Side again, a one panel cartoon. My favorite one is where the cows are all standing up, leaning on the fence, talking to each other. And then a car comes by, someone yells out cows, and they all go back to grazing. Gary Larson was hilarious.
Very, very, very funny. Let's see here. We got people on the line here. I believe of Richard from Waukesha. Richard, what are the comic book strips or comic strips from the newspaper that you remember?
Well, early 60s, it was kind of political. It was Yogi Bear and Boo Boo. And, you know, they're all standing by the picnic table and trying to figure out how to do it. And there was a TV show. There was a man that actually read the comics to you when you were real young. I don't know when it started.
That was back when they needed a lot of content. That's when they needed a lot of content.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate the call. Ben from Richland Center texting in, listening on WRCE. My dad had a bunch of There Ought to Be a Laws in paperback. They were two panels, and they really encompassed the quirks of human nature. That is really a unique gift.
Yeah.
I think cartooning like that, because you have to make your point so quickly. I think if you're a good cartoonist, you're brilliant.
You have to be a good illustrator, and you have to think about like, oh, I have to fit all of these thoughts into 12 words.
Right.
Yeah. Mary from Wisconsin, you get the last word. What are the comic strips that you remember from the newspaper?
Doonesbury,
that's right.
Doonesbury. Oh, yeah. Yep. Nobody mentioned that
that's
yet.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
That's definitely on the list there. Doonesbury was always in the paper, always there. And I feel like very, and when I say adult, I don't mean like, I just mean like it was high-minded humor, in my opinion.
Well, it was a little more complicated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was certainly more complicated. Complicated than Nancy and Sluggo. Those were a lot easier.
Exactly.
Those were easier to follow.
Calvin, did you grow up on anything like that? Did you read comic book strips? Comic strips. Sheesh.
I wasn't ever huge into them. I remember the Family Circus.
Mm-hmm.
People, for obvious reasons, tried to push Calvin and Hobbes on me. And
really?
Why? You like Calvin and Hobbes? Or, were you named after Calvin and Hobbes? Neither of those are true. So, but yeah, I don't particularly like this comment, but no one mentioned Garfield.
I did.
You did?
Yes.
I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry, Greg.
I led with Garfield, Calvin.
Okay. Well, Garfield, I feel like, has permeated our culture in a way that a lot of comic strips haven't.
Yeah. Yeah.
They definitely left an impression.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thanks to everybody who took part in today's Audio Sorbet. All right, when we return, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Take a Bite edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, it is Thursday already, so Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news.
And what are we going to talk about, Jane?
Oh, there's just a couple things to talk about. Things are not going very well for the Trump administration in court, especially some of Trump's personally selected lawyers. Wow. Some of the judges and what they're saying about these attempts by these Trump lawyers, it's pretty astonishing. Jim Santel will join us to break some of that stuff down. We're going to talk all things sports in hour number two. Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. So I hope you can join us tomorrow morning for that. Right now, though, it is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think this should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press, Rod McQuirk, has the headline. It reads, Australian prisoner sues for his human right to eat Vegemite.
Jane, have you had Vegemite?
No, and I've heard it's very much an acquired taste.
I have only heard Australians speak highly of Vegemite.
They're the only ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. They are by far the only ones.
Yeah.
This happened in Australia. A prisoner challenging Australia's ban on inmates eating Vegemite, saying that withholding this breaches his human right to enjoy his culture as an Australian. Vegemite is a yeast-based spread.
Ugh.
I know. 54-year-old Andrew McKenzie is serving a life sentence for murder. Took his battle to court. Most Australians revere Vegemite as unfairly maligned. More than 80% of Australian households are believed to have a jar of Vegemite in their pantries. Inmates, though, in all 12 prisons in Victoria, Australia, are going without. The case is actually going to go to trial next year.
Okay. Couple questions. One, from what I understand, Vegemite is a fairly common foodstuff in Australia. So yes. It surprises me that the prison wouldn't have it. Like, I imagine prisons have like butter and condiments. So I don't understand why it wouldn't have Vegemite.
It says that Vegemite contains yeast, which is banned in those prisons because it could be used in the production of alcohol.
They've never had toilet wine. So,
well, apparently not. Man representing this inmate says that is not possible. He rejects reports that inmates are using Vegemite to brew alcohol. So they say that's not happening, but that's why it's not there. They have banned it from prisons, no Vegemite since 2006, because it interferes with drug detecting dogs. Inmates used to smear packages of illicit drugs with Vegemite, hoping the smell would distract the dogs.
Listen, mate, I just want to put some Vegemite in my toast. I don't want to escape. I'm out of appeals. All I want is to enjoy that wonderful savory spread on my toast in the morning. Please give me my Vegemite.
Nice Australian. Nice.
Thank you very much.
You're getting better and better.
This is the third Australian Tisbat in 2 weeks, so it's only going to get... better or worse, or I should say better or more offensively Australian.
You're doing pretty good.
Also, the whole thing
doesn't that just indicate how bad that stuff smells?
Yeah.
If they're smearing it on drugs to confuse drug detecting dogs, that must be some pretty powerful stuff.
But I will say here, I just looked it up. It said Vegemite tastes strongly salty, bitter, and savory with malty, yeasty flavor, often compared to a beef bouillon or dark soy sauce. That doesn't sound bad at all. In fact, I have to go to the store after this, and if they have Vegemite, I'm buying some, and I will report back tomorrow. I swear to God. I feel like in Australia, they love their Vegemite. In England, they love their Marmite. And I just want to, you know, honestly, we should have thought of some other things. Like, what would American prisoners call a human right to have? They're like, I want Cool Ranch Doritos. They should be mine.
either something cool ranch or pizza related.
Yeah, or just ranch. Access to ranch sauces.
Just access to ranch.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I demand the right to make a bigger waistline in prison. So I would like all of the Jell-O, all the colors. But yeah.
Well, and I guess we should thank the band Men at Work, because I think that was the first time a lot of us had heard even the term Vegemite from their song Down Under.
Artists and informers. Just look they really the cultural just representatives. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Don't get enough credit. Yeah. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Terry on the live stream says, I've tried Vegemite, it's nasty. We'll go with that.
Thank you,
Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the live stream and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. We will be back with you tomorrow right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.